So let's come to message two of morning session two. So we're continuing here on the gospel on campus. Let's read the title together. Interceding in twos or threes and persevering in prayer. So I'll cover the first half of this message. And Paul will cover the second half, persevering in prayer. And we'll bring in maybe some brother will share a little bit of his experience in interceding in twos and threes. And I really enjoyed some of the testimonies so far, even at the microphone the other night. One brother shared how he and his brother were praying for his family until they were recovered, you know? And it didn't happen right away, right? So this is a big encouragement to us all these testimonies. Because we're not... You know, the work we're carrying out is a long-term work. It's, you know, we're not making fake flowers. You can make those overnight, right? We're not painting our faces, right, to make ourselves look living. But we're eating the Lord Jesus by contacting Him, by taking care of our spirit and our heart. And He is imparting His life into us. So... I think that in this message we come to a wonderful provision, and that is the twos and threes. Because most of us, you know, it's just not easy to endeavor by yourself, you know. And it's like no matter how hot you are for the Lord, Satan knows that all he has to do is separate you from other hot ones. And you just become cool, right? You know, if you have a pile of hot burning coals, they can burn all night. But if you just separate one of them from the pile, it'll be out in no time, right? So, knowing this, we need to come together to pray, right? In twos and threes, the kind of prayer that the Lord needs to bring the kingdom to the earth... For His will to be done on the earth. To sanctify a group of people on the earth. Starting with you and me. Right? That's all He has to work with. Unqualified sinners. Right? We're just nothing. But praise the Lord. God has desired to dwell with us. Right? To be one with us. And to make us one with Him. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. In order to preach the gospel and bear fruit, we first need to intercede in twos or threes, bringing people to the Lord with binding and releasing prayers. So I have a question. Why don't men receive the Lord? When they hear the gospel, is the gospel offensive? Is the gospel an unpleasant proposition? Not at all, right? It's so glorious. It's so bright. It's so promising. Right? It's so uplifting. So why do people reject the gospel? Like, you've heard some of our brother's testimonies, right? First time, you know, our brother Mark had someone preach the gospel to him. He just rejected him. Right? But, so why is this? It's because there's an enemy, right? And so the Lord gives us some instruction. In Matthew 12:29, He says, "Or how can anyone enter into the house of the strong man and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man?" So the campus is full of fish, right? Full of people, but they are captive to Satan. And so for some of them to respond to the gospel that we preach, there has to be some groundwork of prayer, right? To bind the binding one and to loose these bound ones so that the gospel would have an effect, an impact, right? On people. So it wouldn't be easy for them just to say no and forget all about it, right? But that word would just work in them. No matter what you said, you know, what verse in a sense, you could just you just feel like you have the wrong thing to say. You don't have anything, you know. But you just speak a verse to them. You just tell them a little bit about the mystery of human life. And the Lord has a way to operate. He operates through the Word, right? And through our prayer. So the real burden here is first to see that there is a great need for intercession. And to have intercession means we need intercessors. What do you think intercession comprises of? Like, when you think of intercession, do you think of just a synonym of prayer? Or do you think of something more special? Let's read A together. To intercede is to approach God in a personal and confiding manner. To intervene, interfere before God in others' affairs for their benefit. So what's your impression here? Is prayer about us and our condition and our need? No, it's really about God's need, right? It's interfering and praying to God on behalf of others, right? So this is more advanced, right? This doesn't mean that we don't need to take care of our conscience or that we don't need to take care of, you know what I mean, our being. But if I could draw a picture, I don't have time, but you know the picture in your head, you can think about it right now, of the tabernacle, right? It has three sections. And you start out at the outer court, at the altar of sacrifice. And at that altar, all of our needs are taken care of, right? We have Christ as all the offerings for us, offered at the bronze altar of sacrifice. Through His redemption, He took care of every negative thing. So from there, you can go on, right? Through the tabernacle, station by station. The next station being the laver, where you're washed by God. The next station in the holy place is the showbread table, where you're fed by God. And then you go to the lampstand, where you're enlightened by God. But then you come to the incense altar, where we pray the prayers that meet God's need. In a sense, all the stations up to this point really took care of us. But it's so that we could take care of God. Right? So when we come together, in a sense, maybe we just need to go through the stations, you know? We start at the outer court, right? We start as sinners who need to be redeemed. But once we're redeemed, we can be washed and fed and enlightened. And then we can begin to touch what's on the Lord's heart. We become a person that the Lord can reveal what's on His heart too. Right? The Lord doesn't just bare His heart to anyone, right? But to those who would come to seek Him. Right? To touch Him, to be filled with Him. So this is really a picture of what should go on when we come together in our twos and threes. You know, we need to be fed. We need to be enlightened. We just need to have some fellowship, maybe to take care of one another at the beginning. Because for the people to respond to the gospel, for the kingdom to come to the earth, it needs men who have been freed, right? It needs men. You cannot pray for others to be freed if you are bound, right? One example of being bound is just to be quiet. Sometimes when we come together, if you're quiet, you're just bound. And so you need some brothers, like Lazarus had some brothers, right? Praise the Lord. You know, he was resurrected from the dead by the Lord Jesus. But then he still needed some brothers to come over and take off the cloth that was covering his mouth. So he could speak. So he could testify. Christ is resurrected. He's the resurrection and the life. He resurrected me. He's living in me. So this is, when we come together, we need, maybe if we're, we just need the help of the brothers, right? To come rip the grave cloth off our mouth. To release us. So that we could pray together in harmony. And concerning the things the Lord would just bring out in this time together. I mean, is the Lord not burdened for everyone, right? He's full of burden. So if you touch Him, you'll touch His burden. right? You'll touch his burden for your fellow man, for your fellow classmates, for the one stranger that just happens to walk by you at that moment, you know? And the Lord's like, well, why don't you just give him a tract? Why don't you say hello? Why don't you introduce yourself? So the picture that I didn't draw of the tabernacle really shows us two altars, right? And so the first altar takes care of our need. But the second altar is where the intercessory prayer is offered up. And this is what takes care of God's need. This is what brings His kingdom to the earth. I'm going to read a verse to you. A lot of times we think of, you know, prayer as maybe, you know, we have a lot of concepts about prayer. But is this your concept of prayer? Isaiah 45:11. Ask me the things to come concerning my son, and concerning the work of my hands, command me. What is this? This is God's concept of intercessory prayer. Is we command Him. In other words, the heavens, God is waiting for the earth. It's waiting for the command to come. Lord, save my friend. Save this one that sits next to me in class every day, 3 days a week, you know. Save my parents. You know, whatever particular ones are in our circle of influence that the Lord would put on our heart as we touch Him, we would just get together and command the Lord concerning this one until the Lord moves. He is waiting for this. We can't wait for Him. He's waiting for us. So, He's coming to you, hopefully, even through this message. To what? To court you to be His intercessors. Right? Because He needs such ones. Like Abraham in Genesis 18. He came to Abraham. But He didn't just open up His heart right away. He spent several hours with Abraham. Had a meal with Abraham. Had his feet washed. And then He opened up His heart as He was on the way out the door. But Abraham, seizing the opportunity to be with the Lord, walked with Him. And the Lord opened up His desire, you know, to judge Sodom. And He knew that, you know, Abraham had a heart for Lot. And Lot was in Sodom. And so they had this exchange, this friendly kind of chat. Well, Lord, if you find 50, will you destroy, you know, the whole city? And He said, no, not if I find 50 righteous. And then He said, what about 40? You know? And He went all the way down to 10, right? So maybe He was a little worried, right? There aren't that many righteous. And I'm worried about Lot. That he is righteous and that he wouldn't be spared. So the Lord opened His heart as He spent time with Abraham. And so that this is what we should expect. As we spend time with the Lord, things will just open up, right? And then they're not things that are so much apart from us, you know? I mean, Lot was his nephew, right? Surely he was on his heart. You know, our relatives, our friends, these ones are on God's heart. But He needs an intercessor, and so He comes to spend time with us. And as we spend time with Him, then He can open up these matters to us so that we could command Him. So let's read B together. Our prayer.
It's to maintain consistent prayer so that He can move and save the people around us.
Amen. One, when we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There is no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, explain, and expound the Scriptures to the Lord. It sounds kind of funny, but this is exactly what, you know, He said in Matthew 6:7, don't be like, you know, certain ones praying. Do not babble empty words as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that in their multiplicity of words they will be heard. So sometimes, you know, we don't need a lot of words, right, to communicate to the Lord. Sometimes we just have to say amen because what's on His heart is so obvious. It's just right there. You know, He's just waiting for you to say, Lord, do it. Do what's in Your heart for this person. Because I know what Your heart is. Your heart is that they would be saved. Right? So, let's not waste our words, right? Trying to explain or teach or expound the Scriptures to the Lord. But let's just be practice short, right? Short, to the point. And the Lord's Prayer was definitely a good example in Matthew 6. Lord, Your kingdom, Your will, Your name, the earth needs all three, you know? He was seeking the Lord's kingdom first. And He mentioned His own need, right? And bread, daily bread. But He had the proper priority, right? And that was God's kingdom first. If we seek God's kingdom first, do you think He will not take care of us? So how about let's determine to seek His kingdom first. Amen. Let's not seek our own things first. Our own future, our own education even. I mean, it's just a big trap. That is exactly what all your friends are doing. They're seeking, right? Their education, their future first. You will stand out if you seek God's kingdom first. And you will be one with whom He can establish His kingdom by praying with the twos and threes. So, at this point, maybe let's read C, and then maybe Andrew could come up and share his experience of intercessory prayer a little bit. So we need the prayer of the twos and threes, which is the binding and releasing prayer. And so we touch this matter that really only released ones can release others, right? So when we come, we may need to just travel through the stations of the tabernacle, you know, to be released so that we could be one with the Lord and with one another to release His kingdom on the earth. I like the picture that is described here. You know, the heavens and the earth seem like there's a big gap, right? And so what can bridge this gap? Well, in Matthew 18, what's revealed is the twos or threes. They come together to pray, and through their prayer, they climb this ladder. Rung by rung, they climb the ladder. By what? By binding Satan and releasing the bound one. So, in this kind of prayer, you can just see the heavens are being brought to the earth, right? And the earth is being joined to the heavens. Actually, the Lord already did this, right? And so, as the Spirit, He is our heavenly ladder, right? He's the Son of Man. He's standing on the earth. What? Not alone anymore, but in the body of Christ. There is a heavenly ladder, right? That joins the heavens to the earth and the earth to the heavens. So, this traffic is really, it's our prayer. Right? It's our prayer of intercession in the twos and threes for what's on the Lord's heart. So, brother, maybe Andrew, you could share a few minutes if you want. Yeah, just come on up here real quick. Just about, you know, how when we come together, we just start where we are, but, you know, in our own situation, as we touch the Lord.
So let's see, I'll just start off. Earlier last semester, we've been getting into the Word with a brother on campus. And we've been getting into the ministry, and we've come across the portions of where the Lord would just go up on top of the mountain. He would pray, and He would just leave everything. And it's always in the morning, before dark, right? So we decided to take the Lord as our pattern. We decided we'll set a time once a week to just wake up early, just go up to the mountain. We have a little hill on our campus, Observatory Hill. It's pretty much the astronomy section. And so we'd wake up early, about 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little earlier, and the brother would pick us up, and we'd be driving over. And as we're driving, we just call on the name of the Lord. And during this time, this time of going up, there's no prayer. It's just calling, just touching the Lord, just Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we just keep on going. And as we get closer and closer to the top of the mountain, we possibly, maybe spontaneously start singing, or I don't know, just exercising. And so we'd get on top of the mountain and we'd come in. Well, there's like a little location pretty much that we'd designate it, and we'd just stay there and we'd begin to pray and just, oh Lord Jesus. And we'd just start, and you know, we come into that point where we just pray, Lord, we ask the Lord for our needs. Just Lord, enliven us. Lord, everything in our morning revival usually that pertains to us, we just have that flow. And as we just go on, it's like our spirits just became one. We all just had one big stream just going in, just flowing out. And as when everything was poured out on us, the Lord just found a way. He just made our single stream of our one spirit with all of us becoming one big river. The Lord just flowed. We would just flow out and just slowly begin. Lord, what about Charlottesville? Or what about the campus? Lord, what about the students? Focus on the body of Christ there, you know. Just go on. And then I can particularly remember there's when the earthquake in Japan, just a burden. You can just feel it. Just every time we'd go up, just the Lord would just, what about it, Lord? What about Japan? Oh, Lord, they need you. They need you, Lord. And you can, everyone's prayer, just the burden flowing out. And, wow. The crazy thing is, to me, in my experience, is the one, when we pray on our own, we, like I said earlier, we're just one stream. We just have a certain flow that goes according to our need and maybe our view of the Lord and what's on His heart according to us. But when we're with the group, when we're with the brothers, we get that flow and our view gets expanded. And the Lord is really able to flow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So encouraging, right? When the streams come together, hallelujah, comes a mighty flowing river to carry out the Lord's economy. Just to touch two things before I hand it over to Paul real quick. One is our prayer. It needs to be releasing, right? And so it's really good when we come together just to endeavor, right? Like we shared earlier, just to exercise our spirit, you know, it's like priming the pump. You know, at first there's just no water, right? But you keep priming that pump and eventually there's water, right? And so even in our Christian life, you know, where we are according to our consecration determines kind of the level of life we have, right? And so you see this in Ezekiel, right? The man of brass measured. And every time, you know, you're measured, then the water level increases in your being. You know, so as we contact the Lord through our consecration to Him, then He just has the way to raise the level of life in our being. So, you know, as we, you know, every day we should just have part of our confession is a consecration. Lord Jesus, I just give you the consent to do what you want to do and to do what you need to do. Amen. Lord, to raise the level of life in my being. Amen. Right? So that when we come together to pray, that our prayers would not be hindered, but fully released. Right? And in this release, actually, this is where the real blending is. Right? We just are brought into this harmony, into this one accord that commands the Lord's blessing. And then whatever we ask, the Lord would just do it because of the one accord through our release and our prayer. So in the twos or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan, and we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer in harmony. Amen. Wonderful word, harmony. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is harmonizing us. Amen. By working Himself into us. And by gathering us together to pray with the release of our spirit, Amen. There will be the harmony. So two, we should not give up on anyone. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayers touching heaven by binding and releasing in harmony. In Luke 18, you see there's the persistent prayer of the widow, right? And we are the widow. Our Lord Jesus, our husband has not yet come. So we are here petitioning persistently until He comes. Amen.
Thank you. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be with you guys. Hallelujah. We need to be in twos and threes.
Amen.
The Lord knows I'm a pretty individualistic person. So for me to share on this is what I need, right? But I just appreciated the Lord needs to gain twos and threes.
Amen.
And the second half of the message that I'm going to touch is on this matter of persevering in prayer. And according to my disposition, I like to give the exhortation, you know. Probably a lot of us are somewhat like that, you know. Persevere, persevere. But if you haven't got the picture yet, this is a training. And we're learning here together, all of us, how to go on. So there's a lot of practical things we've been touching, right? I don't know about you guys, but I'm helped by a lot of it. We are getting trained how to live the life of a God-man.
Amen.
That is, as a man of God.
Amen.
So one thing that a man of God does is he perseveres. Phil, I really appreciated your sharing on this last year. I don't remember the definition of persevere that you gave. Something like continuing in the face of enduring affliction. Something along those lines, right? Well, I'm going to give a recipe for perseverance today. Okay, you guys want to know the recipe for perseverance?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not just suck it up. All right? That's part of it, right? But it's not just that. Okay? Okay, and actually, I feel like this message comes very much in line sovereignly with Brother Mark's sharing earlier. Because, I mean, who would have known either that the brothers would have switched the messages, you know what I mean, from yesterday to today. But it's very appropriate. Because I feel like perseverance actually is a body matter. We sang the song earlier. I live if you go stand firm in the Lord. You live if I stand firm in the Lord. Okay, that's 1 Thessalonians 3:8, where Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians. But it's actually applicable in a lot of our situations. We go on when we know that there's others going on. We may already have that sense, but it's something that needs to be burned into our daily living, such that we go to the Lord for others. Do you get that? Normally, I just go to the Lord because I'm dry. You know what I mean? Because I need some supply. Or we might even in a loftier sense go to the Lord in this obtuse, you know, your economy. I'm going to you for that. Okay, but what's this economy? It's got to do with all these ones around us. Okay, so we persevere for the sake of others. Okay, in my experience, I rowed. Okay, do you guys know what rowing is? When I say row, most people think of like strange little fishing boats. Okay, no, there's actually a sport called rowing. All right, it's mainly popular in the Northeast. Okay, but actually, it was the oldest collegiate sport in the U.S., so it's got something for its name. But okay, so I used to row with 8 guys. Actually, I'll just say our team was really good. My sophomore year, we won basically the national championship. Our boat did. And we beat Harvard, Princeton, Yale, everybody. But you know what? We were interrelated. I mean, there's some sports where you're pretty individual, right? Where you just do your thing, I do my thing. If we end up winning, I got my own stats anyways. You know what I mean? What do I care? Okay, with rowing or other sports like that, your destiny's intertwined. Actually, we need to realize that spiritually our destiny is intertwined. I really appreciate, actually, your whole body, how does it grow? It grows in proportion and in relation to the other members. Okay, your hand doesn't all of a sudden blossom into full maturity while your arm is still dwindling at a 3-year-old state. You know what I mean? It grows in the context of one another. We need to learn to grow in the context of one another. We need to learn to persevere in the context of one another. So I was actually touched. If you read Exodus chapter 21, you know, there's a list of sundry ordinances that follow the giving of the Ten Commandments. And they might seem kind of weird, but we have the footnotes, so they're not that weird. But if you get into them, you'll see that the first one is this matter of a slave or a servant who has been sold into slavery. And as a children of Israel, he's only indentured for 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, if the master had given him a wife, and through that wife he had children, he had to come to a certain decision point. And there's a provision for if that slave doesn't want to go out free. And so some of you guys are probably familiar with this. He says, you know, I don't want to go free. You know what he says? He says, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children. I won't go out fearing. So what he goes is, he says, goes to the master, says, gets taken to the doorpost and has his ear bored through with an awl. Right? Okay, well, I love the response there, where he says, I love my master. You know who our master is? Like the Lord? God is our master. We're possessed by God, right? A man of God is one, or a man of God is one who's possessed by God. We're owned by Him, right? But then you know what? He also says, I love my wife. I love my children. Actually, you know what? I love my wife. I love my children. If I had a choice, I wouldn't go out free either. You know what I mean? They stay with the master? No, I'd stay with my master. You know who the wife is? The church. You know who the children are? The saints, the believers. We love the Lord, but we also love the church and we love the saints. And actually, I don't know if you guys have this registration, but when you entered into the church life, whether you were born in it and you entered in intrinsically at another time, or whether you came in from somewhere else, guess what? The Lord provided you not only Himself, but also the church and the other saints. You go out free, guess what? You don't take them with you. You know what I mean? So we love one another, and we realize we need one another. And so we stay indebted to the Lord for that purpose. Okay, so one of the ingredients that I want to put for perseverance is one another. We need one another. And actually, this is I say this, and I hope this gets written into you, that this is a matter of vision. This isn't merely a human relationship where you're just friends with somebody. Maybe there's a certain camaraderie to it, but it's deeper than merely being friends with someone. This is something that governs your personal life, your living with the Lord. I realize, actually, this is real. This is in my experience. If I'm on the computer and I'm doing something, you know, I can only go to about like 5 or 6 websites now. I just don't even know what to do online anymore. I can't go somewhere because you know what comes into my head? Matt Payne. You know what I mean? I love the Lord and He restricts me through my conscience. But also, if I take whatever's in there into me, That affects my relationship with Matt. I can't do that. Do you know what I mean? You guys see this?
Amen.
Say amen, please. If you see it, amen. All right. This is a higher level of living, right? We persevere for one another. We go on for the sake of one another.
Amen.
If you just need to work out for yourself, hey, you miss a practice, no problem. You know what I mean? But if you realize my going to practice, actually when I was in college, I had to go to 2 practices a day. It was like 30 hours of my week for 3 years. It was 30 hours of my week. And you know what drove me to practice? I realized if I don't go, these guys don't win. So all of us were governed by a corporate view. This really impacts the way that we live and the things that we touch and the things that we get into. Okay, so the first point under the Roman numerals, we need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for the prayer with our 2 or 3 companions. Okay, so we need to find time to budget. Okay, I don't know if I'll put this as an ingredient, but yeah, I will. Okay. Budget. / I don't know. Practice. If I tell you, okay, there's a brother in here that runs. So if I tell him to go out and run 4:15 mile, he can probably do it. I don't know right now. It's kind of dependent on where he is in his training cycle. But if I tell, okay, who doesn't run? Ben, do you run? No, okay. All right. If I tell you to go run a 4:15 mile, are you going to be able to do it? What if I exhort you? Go run a 4:15 mile. Persevere, brother. You know? It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen with me either. Even at my best, I could never do that. Okay. So, very practically, perseverance isn't magic. You don't run marathons on a whim. Actually, I did once, but I had a lot of training behind it, actually. Not, yeah. But anyways, okay. So, in order to persevere, we need to be those who are budgeting. That means we set aside a time aside. Let's be practical. When we come back, okay, we don't want another elevator experience, you know? We all have that experience. I went to the training last year, and then by 2 weeks later, I was fully depleted. You know what I mean? Okay, well, let's get pragmatic about this. Okay, set definite times to pray. Okay, if you look in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, maybe I'll just read it to you real quick. It says, "Now when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house in his upper room. He had windows open towards Jerusalem. And 3 times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God because he had always done so previously." He had always done so previously. Okay, the context of this is right before he gets thrown into the lion's den, right? What is Darius at that point? Yeah, I think it's Darius. Issued a certain decree, anybody who prays, going in the lion's den, right? Okay, that was where the friction came. The trials and tribulations came. But you know what? Daniel remained according to what he had built up in his spiritual reflexes. Okay, we need spiritual reflexes to be established. And they're through habits. They're through setting aside, budgeting times to pray. Okay, so I'll give you something in my experience. Okay, I first touched the church life when I was in college. I was 21 years old. And personally, I will say this. I made a consecration before the Lord that before my head, before I drift into sleep every night, I will touch the Lord. Nobody told me what my spirit was. Nobody told me how to do so. But I was on my knees and I sought the Lord until I found Him. If I did so, or if I was on my knees and I didn't feel like I touched the Lord, but I went to bed, the Lord, by His mercy, would get me back out and I'd go back to my knees. I had a budgeted time every night before Him. Touch the Lord.
Amen.
exercise my will, right? I will come to the Lord. And the Lord fulfills in power every good intention, right? When I graduated, so now I'm 22, so I'm living and I'm working, and actually I started going to graduate school at the same time. I got connected with a brother. Praise the Lord for this brother, okay? And he brought me into prayer with him every night. Well, probably 3 out of 4 nights a week. Okay, there's another lesson here which I'll touch in a minute. But every night, or maybe 3 nights a week, I would pick him up, and we would go. And we would we'd just enjoy the Lord. And then we'd go and visit people. Sometimes we'd go preach the gospel. Sometimes we'd just get into the ministry together. But every time when I night would drop him off at night, he didn't have a car. So I'd bring him to his house, or to his, actually it was a hotel at the time. And he would say, "Paul, can we just pray?" And so we just started praying every night. And by this time, I started work at 8. And this now 9 p.m. You know, I've had a full day of work. I've gone to graduate school or a class or two. And then I picked him up. So it's like 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m. And he's like, "Can we pray?" You know, I'm like, oh. You know, but it was this ingredient right here, you know, that brought me to learn how to persevere. You know what I mean? You know, this brother, now I'm going to blow your concept, okay? He was 46 years old, he had 4 kids, and he was African-American. Okay? That was my companion. I talked to him at least 3 times a day for over 2.5 years. He was my prayer partner. He was one who brought me into a living of praying in 2s and 3s. I still pray with him. Maybe it's probably 3 times a week now. But I just appreciate, it's not according to your concept. You know what I mean? If you haven't already been joined to somebody, you may have this thought, the Lord's got to bring me somebody. You know what I mean? And, you know, we're just selective, you know. We want somebody who's according to our concept, who matches us. Well, this brother had nothing in common with me. But praise the Lord, we learned how to touch the throne.
Amen.
Actually, this is the next point, which I'm not going to read, but you can read it. The next 2 points, I talk about making a list. Okay, this is my list. This is over nine years old. This is my list. There's 72 names on here. Okay, I'll let you see it afterwards if you want. Exhibit A. I learned when I met people, I would just write their names down and I'd pray for them. He had a list too, and we'd pray for them. Actually, he would pray for my roommate, my colleague at work. I loathed it because he used to always slander me and mock me, and I'd preach the gospel to him and just give more fuel to the fire. But and it was like this brother always brought me to pray for my colleague. I just appreciate the list is helpful, right? Just take some of these things down. You know what I mean? Bring them into our practice and our living after this. If you'll do so, I promise you. What is it? They say that 3 weeks will take will establish a habit. If you begin to find a companion and pray 2 or 3 times a week together, maybe don't make it too long, right? Don't go run a 6-miler the first time out. Ben, you know, start slow, right? Maybe go a mile or two, and then pick it up, right? We just need to start where we are, but have a goal. Say, Lord, I want to be one who is for your economy. Amen. Isaiah talks about an intercessor who stands in the breach, right? And will not be silent. God's economy needs this. And actually, there are ranks of fighters in the recovery who have been fighting for years. And there's a burden that impels to call for other fighters. Ones who would join the ranks. And, when I went to college, I wish I had brought the Lord into more of my consideration. But that was where I was. But one of my considerations was with the team that I would join, be able to win a championship. Right? I'm not joining a losing team. Sorry. Okay. there's a winning team. There is a winning team. It's called the overcomers. They're the ones that ride white horses. They're the ones that aren't cowardly, right? They're the ones that, guess what? Persevere. So, perseverance equals one another and practice. So I just appreciate, actually, this is like salt. You know, this is NaCl. When you put the two together, what do you get?
Salt.
So, we all have a privileged opportunity to become salt,
amen,
to join the winning team. That is to learn how to persevere in prayer in twos and threes. This is, hallelujah, this is a burden that I hope all of us can enter into and bring that back to where we are. Don't be selective. Just join the brother next to you. Start praying. Actually, okay, I'm going to give a testimony. I hope I'm not exposing you. But Mark, I remember a year and a half ago, Mark was the only brother at a campus. And so we were praying, Lord, what about a companion? You have to believe the Lord will do this. If you're all by yourself, no, the Lord will do this.
Amen.
What did the Lord do? He saved a brother.
Amen.
Okay? And that brother then brought another brother who had a strong turn to the Lord. Okay? Mark's now got two companions.
Amen.
Okay? If you don't have a companion, just pray for it. I believe the Lord will provide it.
Amen.
And you join together in prayer and learn to fight together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.